Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
I find that nowadays everybody's looking for giving themselves grace. You know, there was yeah, quite a while where people were struggling and being everything. And now they suddenly decided, forget it. I'm good as I am and no improvement is needed. Mm. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud. I'm
from the loop and I'm proud. Run a mile. Hi guys, it's your girl Nahama, your favorite Jew from the Lou. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so excited to have Elisha Bahait. Hello and welcome.
Hello, hello.
And I'm really excited because we had talked about this, I think it was months ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. I was walking on Shabbos and I ran into you and Gila Jacobson.
And that is a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. And it was like the first time that I told you about it. And I think jokingly you were just like, oh, I totally should be on your podcast.
Right? And of course, naturally.
And for me, I was like, every time I meet someone who's interesting or even expresses interest, even just a little bit, I'm like, yeah, let's go. But at the same time.
You just put me on the back burner.
No,
just admit it.
No, that's not what happened. What happened was I wasn't sure if you were serious. Because a lot of people have said to me that they want to be guests, mm-hmm. and then like later they chicken out.
I don't flake.
Right. So when we were at the barbecue, mm-hmm. at Hannah's house about a month ago, I want to say,
something
when
like
Devorah was here.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was by like Shavuot's time.
Which is when Devorah was here.
Right. And then that was when we were talking a little bit more about my podcast, and you were like, again, like, okay. Like, okay. When? And I was like, oh, you were serious. Okay, let's go.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Well, here I am.
And Hannah also was like, definitely you should have my mom on.
Hannah wants to make fun of me, but that's okay.
No, she doesn't. She was like, you have so much interesting stuff to talk about.
Oh, my gosh. I can talk. Oh, yeah. I can definitely talk.
Yeah.
Whether everybody finds it interesting is a whole different story.
I think it's interesting. I think people love to hear conversations because nobody talks anymore. Everything's so surface level. Like, hi, how are you? So great.
I guess I don't watch those things.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about just regular conversations in real life too.
Oh.
Yeah. How often do you actually like a really great conversation?
Oh my gosh. You should just come to my shop.
Maybe it's just you.
Oh my God. I mean, from Judaism to the meaning of life to what's for dinner.
You know what? That's what I love about being a barista is the conversations that I get to have.
Unbelievable.
Because in the corporate world, I had to sit at my computer all day and just work. And it wasn't like those kinds of great conversations, but like, even though I'm making like, I think I'm making below minimum wage, but it's fine.
It's a learning curve.
It's a learning curve. And I'm going to have my own business one day. So like, it's not forever. But I just believe that if you're ever going to have a business, you should start from the ground up.
Totally agree. I did.
Yeah, you did. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't get too far up from the ground financially.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, but it was so marvelous.
So
I just really a typical starving artist, and that's it. And I loved it to pieces. Everything was right about it. Everything. Mm-hmm. Except obviously having to advertise myself and that kind of thing, because it's turned out not at all my thing, which I thought it wasn't, but I got like hard proof.
Yeah.
But it is amazing. It is amazing. Anything about it. Talking to people, hearing what they want, really hearing what they want and kind of managing to represent. Sometimes they don't really know what they want and they kind of tell you And then I usually ask like questions to point them in the right direction. And when they see what I heard and how I did it in flowers, they are thrilled.
They think you're magic.
Yeah, I think it's magic.
It is magic.
It is. What a good feeling, like you actually hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It is unbelievable. It is the nicest feeling ever. And of course, you know, flowers, you can't get any better than that.
So I have to give a little preview because we know what we're talking about, obviously. Right. But just so everyone knows how we know each other, I mean, I've known you my whole life, but Hannah, who will be on this podcast episode, I'm shouting out to you, so now you have to be on here. Her sister Devorah was just on, and now her mom's on. Hannah is one of my best friends. We've been in the same class since fourth grade. Our classes were combined. She was the grade below me. And her mom, Elishaba, has a flower shop. And yes. It started off in your basement. You were selling like chocolates and flowers.
Yeah. Well, it started off, I was working for someone for 3 years. And then I figured, you know, you can do it.
Yeah.
So then I did it out of my basement for a number of years part-time. And then I had an opportunity to work for somebody who owned a flower shop. And I thought, that's great, because that's what I want. I'm going to learn. And after about a year, she decided to close. So that was a gift. So I'm like, she's closing, I'm going to open. And
oh wow,
that's what happened. And I sort of pulled myself by the, you know, bootstraps kind of things.
That's what they call it, bootstrapping.
Yeah. I think I had to strap like everything, not just the boots. 7 years down the line, you know, I'm thrilled. Money never materialized, really.
Yeah.
So I kind of poured all my love and all my money into that more than I took out.
You know, the thing about that is Hannah and I were talking about it because I'm very similar to you in the fact that I've got the passion, the creativity, wanting to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
But in business, I've heard recently, like, because I
listen
to
that doesn't make money.
Right. A lot of podcasts and stuff will talk about how in a business, you actually need two people. You need the innovator and the integrator. Mm-hmm. And so you and I are innovators. We're the visionaries. We're the creative. We're the face and the heart and the soul.
Uh-huh.
But you need another person who's the other side of the brain who can, like, do the business and the money part.
Right. So I kept looking for somebody like that for a long, long time. Never. It just never happened.
It's hard to find the right person.
It just never happened. Maybe I'm too intimidating to have somebody wanting to work with me. You know, it's very possible, but it just never happened. So on just passion alone, I don't know if you can make any money.
Right.
But I made a lot of friends.
Well, also, let's not forget, 7 years doing it on your own, it's really impressive. Most brick and mortar businesses close like within the first year.
Well, people have different levels of what they are willing to endure to survive. I'm pretty basic. So I don't need your major, you know, if I don't go on vacation to on a cruise this year or any other year, and I've never been, it's okay.
Yeah.
So I'm cool. You know, it was really my whole life. I would wake up and go to sleep thinking about it and was marvelous, just marvelous.
Well, let's also not forget you. One of the cool things is when I was working corporate, I even got a chance to support your business a little bit too because we had like our anniversary at our corporate.
Yeah. Oh, that was wonderful.
And you got to do the flowers. They loved you. You did such a great job.
Oh, really? Because usually I just sort of drop it off and I don't hear that much from people.
Yeah. No. They were thrilled and they are not easy to impress. Like at all.
Cool.
So nice. That was a huge one. And I think they used you a second time. It was even after I left the company and they asked for your number. I'm not sure if it ended up.
You know, I have to say, honestly, I
don't remember.
There's so many different connections. I forget
it could be.
A lot of them.
But I will say like part of the reason why I was like pushing, because like they're very into at the corporate world. Everyone's into like accolades and what have they done? Who have they worked with? And I was like, well, you know, she did compete at the art museum.
All right.
So can we talk a little bit about that? Because I don't know if everybody knows.
Oh, my gosh. Any minute. It's my favorite thing to do.
Okay. So tell me everything about it.
Okay. So Art in Bloom is an exhibit that local art museum does. They get florists and actually other artists to interpret art in flowers. They have curators choosing the art, and we pick it out completely randomly. What you get is what you get, and you get a month to think about it, And then you install your flowers in the art museum representing real art. And they've been doing it for probably close to 20 years. And I went there first few times, whenever that was, and I got so jealous of doing it. I wanted to do it so badly that I stopped going.
Oh, wow.
I just couldn't handle it with somebody else doing that.
You wanted to be part of it.
I wanted to be part of it so badly, but obviously there was no, you know, I wasn't anywhere around that. So that was the end of it. And at some point, I just got brave enough and I applied and they approved me.
That's amazing.
And it was beyond. I mean, the first time I applied, I think it took about a month or so to wait for the results and
get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I was not breathing like for about a month. And when they approved me, it was incredible. And the first year I did it, my piece of art happened to be in like one of the largest galleries, like right off the entrance.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I stood there with a flow of people and here are my flowers. And I'm standing next to my flowers. It was a completely out of body experience. I felt like I was actually floating about a foot off the ground. It was beyond.
That's so cool.
It was like, wow, my dream came true. And I happened to really be happy with how my flowers came out. You know, sometimes you have a vision, but you can't execute it exactly like you want. Mm-hmm. And I had a vision and my execution actually went a little above it. I was pleased. Unfortunately, I didn't win anything, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Not that time. I won a different time. So, oh my gosh, I loved it. And I did it, I think, 4 years in a row.
That's amazing.
4 years in a row. And then 1 year after Corona. Oh, it was incredible every single time.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Where like those kinds of experiences, I would argue, are worth more than money. I mean, you have to pay your bills. You have to be able to eat. I know.
Right.
But at the same time, like the fact that you got to experience your dream, like there's people who like pay their bills and are financially responsible, but they don't live.
Well, some people don't really have this kind of dreams, which I also don't understand. But
I don't understand that. I think that's the creative in us. Like we just don't get how people
cannot. Yeah. Sometimes I think of people who go to work faithfully every single day and they bring the salary home and like, oh my gosh, don't they go bonkers?
Yeah.
But maybe they don't. Maybe that's all they want.
Some people, I think that's true.
Hard to imagine for me, though.
It's hard to imagine for me as well. But maybe that's just the creatives in us. Like, we just don't fit into it. It's like a round peg in a square hole.
I don't know. I think I'm like, forget about square or whatever.
You're just your own.
Too many angles there.
I think it's so cool, though. And, you know, I just think anytime you have the ability to pursue your passion and it doesn't personally like, okay, yes, maybe financially the money never came through, but aren't you glad you tried and you got to have the opportunity all those years?
Yes, I am. But on the other hand, ask my kids, you know, how was it that there was no financial contribution over there? Not very much. You know, that part was really hard.
Yeah.
And I actually looked at it like privilege. It was a privilege to be able to do something I want. And, you know, a responsible person probably would have thought about the money. I thought about the art. So I'm privileged nobody wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
Or at least didn't go with it.
But you have such a unique life, too, also, because, like, you immigrated here from Russia.
Right.
So what was that experience like for you, too?
You know, I was just thinking about it. It's been 32 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to pause for a second. My mom is really into gematria, which is like, I don't know how you say it in English, like numerology or whatever. Like for every Hebrew word, there's like the numerological, like, and there's all these codes and messages. So anyways, 32, my mom, I'm turning into my mom as I get older. But like 32 is lave, which is heart, and love.
So
So anyways, continue.
Look at that.
32
so
years.
It took me to 32 years to love it. Okay, wonderful. So when I came, I was just 20. So it's kind of hard to believe. I think everything was so abstract and so new, and pretty much everything was better than Russia anyway.
Yeah, so that's what I've heard.
That's how it was. And now, like, I can't even imagine.
Do you have family over there still, or do they all?
I have 3 elderly aunts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I actually talk to 2 of them fairly often. They're very funny. I mean, they're like 80, 83, 86, and 93.
Yeah. But what was that like coming here at 20? I mean, did you speak English back then?
Yes, I actually did. I went to school that specialized in English, so I learned it from second grade up, and it happened to be the only, well, almost the only thing I liked. Wow. Because Russian school tends to lie about history, literature, sociology, all kinds of things, and I didn't like math. So between the lies and the math, English was the best.
Yeah.
And so I actually took interest and I spoke some, and then since I spoke the best of my whole family, they kept sticking me everywhere I needed to speak, which was awful. But in the end, I benefited out of it the most.
Yeah.
And I love English to this day.
I think it's so interesting, though, because I feel like you have always been really creative, too. Because I remember when Devorah was in town, Devorah Khan and I were hanging out that one Shabbos. I think you were there, too, for the meal. All 3 of us, we were all eating at Hannah's house. And then afterwards, like, you went home. And, like, one thing that they were saying about you was they were saying, like, as a mother, they were like, you were always the one with, like, all of your kids. Taking them out, just you, being super creative. They were like wondering like how you did it.
Well, I don't know either. So that
maybe that's the secret of motherhood. You're just like trying your best.
You know what? Ask me. First of all, I don't remember half of it. I must have been somewhere else in my brain. And also, clearly, when you're younger, you have a lot more energy.
Yeah.
What I can do now, if I had to do what I had to do then, forget it. I don't know. I would have run away into the wilderness and stayed there by myself. So I still felt guilty that I didn't do enough.
I think that's every mother.
Right. Well, not right. I don't know.
I feel like there's a lot of mothers. It's actually, I'm still doing a little bit of graphic design work here and there. And one of my clients recently, she has this business called Reclaiming Motherhood. And she's working as a coach with other moms to help them realize that they are not as awful as they think they are. And that it's, you know, motherhood is overwhelming. Life is overwhelming. Being a wife is overwhelming. Running a home is really overwhelming. So she has these weekly and monthly check-ins that they can do where they can give themselves grace and figure out ways to improve. And it's really, really nice.
I find that nowadays everybody's looking for giving themselves grace. You know, there was quite a while where people were struggling and being everything. And now they suddenly decided, forget it. I'm good as I am and no improvement is needed. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the other end of it, which is not my favorite, I have to say.
Too extreme.
Right. So it's both extreme. Either extreme is not so great.
Right.
Who knows what's worse?
My mom talks about that. She was like, I don't know what it is about your generation, but everyone is so tired all the time. They could barely handle. She's like, do you know what I was doing?
Right. No, it's not that they're tired. I think they just don't have the driving force. So if you know, it like with sleeping, the more you sleep, the more you want to sleep kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the driving force to do something, then nothing's driving you. So too bad, so sad. Then you're going to find an excuse to pat yourself on the back and say, whatever I'm doing is enough. I'm good enough. I'm skinny enough. I'm fat enough. I'm happy enough. I am accomplished enough. I don't have to prove to anybody who I am because I'm the best anyway.
That's so interesting.
That's sort of like the general assumption now. And I'm glad I'm not with them.
Yeah. So then what would your take on it be? Like, how can someone who doesn't have that driving force find it?
I think it probably comes from it has to come from somewhere else. It can't come from inside us. Then it's sort of like based on what I think. There are bigger objectives out there. There is, you know, some kind of meaning of life that's supposed to drive you.
Yeah.
And, well, I would, obviously, I come from the point of God gives us a purpose and, you know, we have to find that purpose and keep going with it. If you have that kind of objective, then you never do quite enough. You're never quite satisfied. And you're supposed to, well, you're supposed to. I would think you will self-correct. If you're going somewhere where your purpose and you're driving too fast, obviously something's going to break.
Right.
Like if you, I don't know, let's say push on the drill too hard, you're going to break the bit.
Right.
So that kind of thing, you know, like you look outside yourself. I think now people look inside themselves, what I am and what I am expressing out of me.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Warm season's greetings to
you all from Menards. It's a little self-centered, and I think it doesn't get you very far.
Yeah.
But that's just what I think. You know, I don't know. I don't know if somebody is not religious or not in tune or what they would do, but I definitely believe in that.
Yeah. I think it definitely helps to have, like, some sort of connection to, like, a higher power. I think our generation, not a lot of people connect to God anymore in the same way that previous generations did.
I think a lot, well, as time goes and technology develops, we have this funny, make a funny conclusion that, you know, we are so omnipowerful and, you know, we can do so much. It is obviously an illusion.
Right.
Because, you know, you fix one thing, God throws another one at you. So, but we think we have solved so many problems. We solved mechanical problems and scientific problems and health problems. We developed all kinds of other problems that cannot be solved with technology and knowledge.
No,
it has to be solved with heart and soul and self, you know, soul searching and all kinds of things, and people kind of forgetting.
Do you feel like you know what your purpose is?
That would make me a prophet. No. I keep trying to tune in. Considering my success with money, I know it's not my purpose. But who knows? You know, I sometimes I question if I'm doing the right thing. Sometimes. All the time I question what I'm doing the right thing. But I feel like there is some sort of, you know, if I stray too far, God gives me certain, like, rail.
Yes.
To get back on the rail.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel more on the rail than other times.
Yeah, I feel that. It's like when you're driving on the highway and, like, you kind of, like, maybe nod off, aren't paying attention or something. And then,
oh, yeah.
And then there's, like, the little ridge part where you're, like, your car just shakes. It's kind of like life's like that, too, where it's, like, gotta veer this
way.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the shakes, for sure.
I've noticed in life where it's, like, there have been times when, like, I kind of, like, whispers of the universe, right? Like, you hear God, like, telling you certain signs, and I'll be like, no, I'm not ready, or I don't want to do this, so I just stay in my lane doing what I'm doing. And the problem is if you don't listen and move with God, like, when he tells you to do those things, then he'll force you in the direction, usually through something that's not so nice.
So I think my relationship is more like in Braille. I don't hear a thing.
That's
or
so
at least I hear it, I ignore it.
Yeah.
Until I am shoved and I can feel it with my hands and my bumps and my everything. Yeah, I need a little bit of louder. I need a bump. I need a on the head often enough.
Yeah.
The brick often enough.
But one thing I'll say is I feel like you're very tenacious. Like, you have so much tenacity and you're really creative. And I also feel like you aren't afraid of, like, starting over and reinventing yourself, because you've done that so many different times in your life.
Well, yes and no. Sometimes you don't have a choice. You have to. I mean, what other alternative is there?
To give up, go into a state of depression, live a life that's just blah and vanilla and bland, which isn't you.
Well, I have gone into a state of depression. It's actually not a very comfortable state. You don't want to stay there.
No, you don't.
So you generally, you want to get out.
Yeah. And it's hard. Not everybody can.
It's very hard. Yes, it's very hard. But being in it is not any easier. So right. You kind of choose your heart.
Mm-hmm.
At least if you try to get out, you get some kind of reward. If you stay there, you don't.
Right.
It's a miserable life. I wouldn't wish it on an enemy.
Right.
Being depressed is very, very difficult.
Oh, 100%. But I think that fighting spirit is something you might take for granted just because it's, my mom's the same way. She's like, this is just who I am. This is just what I do. What are my alternatives? Stay in that depressed state. But I'm just saying I've seen people who do or who are just living in a negative headspace. And I know it's not easy to push yourself out of it, but I think it's very impressive. Like looking back on your life, moving from Russia to America, and you had Dina at the time. Were you pregnant with her, or was she?
No, she was born in Russia.
She was born. So like, that's also like with a newborn baby, like moving to a new country, even though you spoke English, it's very different hearing about America.
Oh yes, of course.
And living in America. Like Ezra's wife, Shoshana, my cousin, she was talking about how she always wanted to come to America. She comes from Israel, and she was just like, in the movies, like it seemed to be like the land where there's so much money and you can make money so easily. And so when she came here, she was like, it's all shit. It's all a bunch of bullshit. Like, it's not true to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, the opportunities are a lot wider and brighter and totally different.
Right.
There is a lot more up to you here than elsewhere.
Correct.
I don't know about other things. You know, it doesn't make it any easier.
Right.
But
it's not, let's as say easy
in
Russia,
I'm not sure about Israel, but in Russia, you are sort of given a groove and very few people even try to get out of it. And the groove is very, very deep and very defined, and you're just stuck in there, and that's where you're going to go. That is just depressing to think about. Here, okay, maybe some people have a deeper groove than others, but there is a lot more way to get out of it and find something else. And even if you fail, you still tried. In Russia, I don't think you even compelled to try.
Oh, wow. Maybe that's back to our earlier conversation. Maybe that's pretty similar to the mentality of a lot of people in corporate America. They get so ingrained in there's only one way to succeed, and that's by climbing the corporate ladder. I think part of what's been humbling for me stepping away from corporate America is seeing how many people and how many ways you could be successful without having a traditional job. It is possible.
Of course it's possible, but also you have to define for yourself what successful is. You know, if successful is an account in the bank, my life's worth nothing. So obviously there has to be other ways. People understand it certain ways. Maybe yeah. Success is achieving status or a number or some kind of a level of whatever it is. Maybe for them that's success. And I'm sure there is some truth to that. If they're happy with that, then that's what it is.
For sure. But I think there's something to be said about what you just said, whereas I think the ability, like for me, like, yes, I'm making significantly less than I was making in corporate America. But the fact that I don't need to take a vacation from my life.
Right. That's so important. Oh, my gosh.
Every day, like I was driving home from my 8-hour shift of being a barista yesterday, and I just had the biggest smile on my face because I was like, I get to do this every single day. Like I get to chit chat and flirt and make coffee. And I love it. I love it so much. And like the people that I meet, sometimes it's just a little small interaction. Sometimes it's a deeper conversation. I meet people from all over the world.
Oh my gosh. My map. My map.
You have a map?
I have a map with people. I happen to be next to university, so a lot of international students,
oh, cool.
Besides all kinds of tourists. And I have a map where if I find an interesting person or person with an accent, I ask them where they're from, and they put a pin in my map.
Aww.
Oh my gosh, it's a pride and joy of my life.
That's so cool.
I so love it. I have people from all over, absolutely all over.
Yeah.
The most underrepresented continent, well, not continent, country is Canada, believe it or not.
I do believe it, actually.
I have people from Australia. Well, I actually didn't have anybody from New Zealand, but I have Australia.
I
people-
met someone from New Zealand recently.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. I even had two people from Madagascar.
Oh, wow.
And I also always thought that, well, obviously joking, that there is only dancing lions and zebras in there. Yeah. No, there are humans. So, oh my gosh, it is so, so interesting. So, so interesting. I loved it.
Yeah.
And asking people, oh my gosh, talking about which. Ask anybody from a third world country, do we want communism?
Oh, wow.
We do not.
Oh, no.
Ask the right people. Nobody wants communism. Only Americans who are so spoiled, they have no idea what they're talking about.
No idea.
Yeah. It's yeah, that's my soapbox. We do not want communism. I was thinking that when I grow up, I want to create some kind of immigrant society where anybody who wants communism, we give them a free ticket to any of those countries.
Oh, yeah.
One way. One way we give them a free ticket and let them fly and find out for themselves.
That's right.
I think that's what needs to happen, you know? Maybe they will stop doing stupid stuff.
And poisoning our country.
Right. Communism is definitely a poison for any country.
Oh, yeah. It's wild. Do you want to talk about one thing that I think would be really interesting to discuss as well is your life as a single mom, because that's not easy with five kids.
Seven.
You have seven kids? Why did I think you had five?
Good morning.
Wait, who is... There's Dina.
Schmoll. Believe me when I say...
Oh my God, you're right.
I don't think anybody jokes about it. It's for real.
Anybody jokes, you're like, please. Right. If anyone would know, yeah. I would know how many kids I had.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I thought there was just five, but seven's a lot.
Well, it's two more.
No, I know, but like, I don't know. As someone who has no kids, like each new little life seems like a lot.
You know, I have to say, if you talk numbers, after three, it's pretty much a crowd.
Really?
Management-wise, not obviously every person is a person.
Right.
But, you know, whether you cook dinner for three or for seven, it's just in amounts. You know, you still have to do the same. You still have to, you do all the same things just in volume.
Yeah.
So that actually is not any harder.
What a great way to look at it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the mortgage is the same for whatever amount of people are living in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, electricity matters just so much and so on. You know, it's all, it just turns more of into a, like a wholesale account. But yeah, seven kids is a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And, you want to connect with all of them the most you can, and you want to be on top of it the most you can. And each one is a soul. So, you know, you want to treat them as an only child.
Yeah, I feel like...
Which I can't say always happened.
It's not easy to with seven kids. I feel like that's also part of the struggle with bigger
families. Considering the ratio, one parent
per
seven, you know, obviously, I'm sure each one of them at one point or another, probably more than one point, felt neglected and totally understandable. And do I feel guilty? Of course I do. Of course I do. But on the other hand, now when they're grown, I see how much they mean to each other and what great siblings they are to each other. So I guess I gave them, you know, six extra people for each one of them separately.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Now that I see it, you know, yeah. I couldn't see it then.
Right. You were just trying to keep them alive and.
Keep myself alive. A little bit of water, just enough, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then what's it like now also being a grandmother?
Unfortunately, I don't see my grandkids as much as I want to.
Yeah.
It's a little bit unreal. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to think that I'm a grandmother.
Right.
It's pretty cool. It's another sort of like out of body thing. Like my kid has a kid. Weird. Very weird. But they're such cute little people.
They really are.
Oh my gosh. They are so cute. And of course I'm totally, you know, objective.
I'm not objective. I mean, I'm objective. So like when I look at them, they're so cute. Like Devorah's kids especially.
Oh my God. Well, especially since you saw them.
But, like, they just stole my heart.
They can. Yeah. They definitely can.
Yeah.
Delight.
For sure.
But yeah. So it's I don't know how my grandmother. I have no idea.
I think you have such a beautiful life, to be honest.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I think
people should be jealous.
And I think you're kind of like a cat with nine lives too. So even if you like fall, you always find a way to like land on your feet and figure yourself out.
Okay. Well,
in some form or another. And I think
you I'll take that if I'm on like my second life, maybe, because I need seven more.
There you go. Take as many as you want. As long as you wake up in the morning, just start over. You know what I mean? Just keep trying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll take that any day.
I don't think I warned you about this ahead of time, but I do have this tradition. At the end of each podcast episode, I like to ask each of my guests to share their favorite quote or life lesson. I know it's hard because there's so many
quotes. Oh, I have no memory for quotes.
Or even maybe just a life lesson, just something that's really been something that's guided you and inspired you.
I actually heard something like that. I definitely wouldn't say it's a quote, but that's something I agree with 100%. It's better to regret something you've done than something you haven't.
Oh, yeah.
I try to do.
And I would add on to that a quote that I heard that I thought was hilarious that I like to live by, which is, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I never asked for permission.
Mm-hmm.
So there we are.
That's why you have so many adventures.
Right. I found out later. Maybe I shouldn't have.
Right. I mean, sometimes I think
this way I can teach somebody, don't do that.
Yeah, you learn. And honestly, there's no lessons from success, only from failure.
I wouldn't know.
I think you don't give yourself enough credit, you know, like even let's say with the flower shop, right? You're again, the view of making money, is it successful? The fact that you were able to take those steps. You worked for someone else and then you started doing part-time out of your basement and then you got an opportunity to work with someone. Then you got an opportunity to have your own shop for like 7 years. And then you also were like brave enough to like apply to Art and Bloom in the museum and you even won an award 1 year for doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's such a big deal. And like, I think my perspective on it is, okay, we all want money. Who doesn't want money? But like the ability to see a vision and to have a passion and a dream and to try, even if you're not successful, whatever that means to you, the fact that you try, to me, that's successful.
Yeah. Oh, that. Yeah. That, so without a doubt, I would have biggest fear of mine is to, you know, be on proverbial deathbed and say, oh, I wish I, you know, fill in the blanks. I don't want to have any of those things. I want to say, I've tried everything I could possibly try.
From hell or high water.
Exactly.
I did the thing.
Exactly. I'm sorry I ran out of time to try more things.
Right.
That's how I want it. Yeah.
Yeah. I had this conversation, and we'll end on this note, but I had this conversation really with a coworker literally yesterday. She asked me if I knew what my purpose was. And it just came to me and I was like, I think my purpose is to be a light. Like, be a light unto the nations, like the Jewish people, right? But I think more, like, on a personal level, like, I think that my purpose in this world is to connect with people.
And very, what, very well could be.
Because I'm really good at speaking, really good at listening. And so, whether it's a podcast or a coffee shop or just having meaningful conversations with the people who flow into my life, I think that's my purpose.
Very well could be true. And you know what? We need those people. Because people who are looking just in front of them, their nose and in their calculations or whatever else it is, plenty of those. And I don't think that's particularly exciting for themselves or for anybody around.
No. And that's what this whole podcast is about. Like there's this quote from Pirkei Avos where it was, Ezehu chacham, halo mein mikol adam. One who is wise is one who learns from everyone. That's my thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
This was so great.
Thank you. We went over time.
Just a little bit.
Okay. I was looking.
I know you were looking. I know we said it was going to be a shorter podcast episode because I know you don't want to do it for too long, but I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure. And now I can say I've tried that too.
You've tried that too. You've been on a podcast and now hopefully you might be on more. You never know.
You never know. Next time on TV.
But I think you're just such an inspiration for like always going after what you want. Honestly, like in my opinion, objectively, just looking at you, I've always viewed you as someone who was so creative, so strong, so ambitious, and I've always really admired you. So thank you.
See, I need to go on the podcast to hear that.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's worth it just for that, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. And coffee.
Yes. Well, thank you guys for listening. This is another fabulous episode. And you, if you're not already watching this, you can watch it on YouTube and Spotify has the video as well. But it's on all of the streaming platforms wherever you listen to podcasts. And as per usual, my request is that if you enjoy this episode, please share it with a friend, subscribe, and like it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week, you guys. Let's get it. Let's go.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.